feels like joy. I'm gonna do something different. I got a joke for y'all. Told my wife this. She was like, I always gotta, you know, test that out on your wife. Who here are big Star Wars fans? Y'all like Star Wars? I never knew this, that Yoda had a last name. Y'all know that? Lehu. You get it. Yoda Lehu. That's right. There's my joke for today. Hey, that means you can put more back. No. No. If you got your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to be jumping around as usual. You ready for me, Andy? All right. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. The people came to listen to the word of God being preached by Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, my teaching is not mine, but him who sent me. The things that Jesus said and done didn't come from him just winging it. He didn't just go around just doing whatever he wanted to do. That came from God. That came from the Father. From God to man to the people, powerful. But from man to man to the people, powerless. He said it came from God. There are other times where he had said he had spoken of his own word, but he hadn't spoken of his own word, but it was the Father who sent him and commanded him to say what he wanted to say, what he needed to say. It's important if you're trying to establish something in your life, it's always good to say what God has told you to say. We try to create words, worlds, or our world with our own words, and our own words are powerless because it just came from us. It didn't come from God. But when we create it based upon the word of God, that's different. That's powerful. Why? Because Satan can't come against it. The enemy, nobody can come against that. When you do it from God, God's word is a whole lot more powerful in your mouth than you think. And there are other times when he has said those things. So rather than trying to create your own words that's not backed up by the Father, if God has given you the key to unlock all mysteries, and then you decide, I'm going to go ahead and create my own key to unlock these things, don't be surprised when it doesn't work out. Don't be surprised when it hadn't worked out the way you planned. His word in your mind, heart, and mouth will far exceed your own words in your own heart and mouth. In John 17:8, it says this, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. This is Jesus talking. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. Or I have passed on to them the words that you gave me. They received and believed it. And what was given to them by Jesus, we believe it and we receive it. We receive it, we believe it. I received the word from Jesus, I believed it. We know when we pray, we believe that we received and we shall have it. When Jesus gave the word to his disciples, he passed it on to them. When the disciples made disciples, they passed it on to him. See, Jesus was there. God was there backing up everything that Jesus was saying. As he was ministering, as he was teaching, he was backing it up. And in Mark chapter 16, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will go out and do all these extraordinary things, right? And then he says, and Jesus was with them, confirming the word with the accompanying signs. So when you make disciples pattern after Jesus and his word that was given to you, God backs it up. That cycle repeats over and over and over. Somewhere down the line, it has crept up into the body of Christ where you don't need it. It's not so. If it came from God to man, to the people, it is still a powerful thing in our lives. We got to believe it God is not going to change it up because we think we should, or sometimes we might get a little emotional here and there at times. He's not going to change up his word just because we get emotional. His word says what it is. He is faithful to watch over it, to perform it. God wants us to boldly come to the throne of grace. Boldly, not whimpering. I listened to Bill Winston at times, and he had talked about where he was trying to get a message out, and it was late, and he was, "Lord, if you can help me out, I need a message." He goes, the Lord said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Sir, well, I'm asking for a message." He goes, "How did I tell you to come to me?" He said, "Boldly." He says, "Well, come." I said, "Well, praise God." And the thing, we think we're going to get over it because, well, God is, he's going to show us some sympathy. God shows us sympathy and what have you. I said, but he wants us to boldly come. It's your right as a child of God. He wants you to boldly come to the throne of grace, not in confidence in who you are in him, without any shame, without any guilt, without any condemnation. Believer's responsibility, believe and receive what God's word says. Believe it and receive it. Then you can act on it. What his word says, believe it. There used to be a show way back in the day. I don't know if y'all used to watch it in the 1980s. Ripley's Believe It or Not. I used to like that show. You could choose to believe it or not. Now they got a show called Mythbusters, and sometimes I'll watch that, and they're trying to disprove certain projects or see if it's actually true. But we don't have to do that because Jesus already proved it. He's already lived it. He's already shared it. We lived it in our own personal lives. It works. His word works. So what he says, God is backing up the word that you use. And since Jesus gave the disciples the word he was given, Jesus was confirming the word with the miracles, signs, and wonders. Do you believe that God was backing what they were saying as well? That whole time they were. The whole time they were going out, they were. The word became flesh. The word became flesh. In verse 2, it says, he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. It says that the two boats were there, and one of them was Simon's, and some believe that the other boats were the sons of thunder. Y'all know who the sons of thunder were? James and John. So when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Does Jesus know everything? Yeah, he knew. Jesus knew not to trust certain religious men. Jesus knew that he would die for all of mankind. Jesus knew there would be sickness and disease in that age and in the ages to come. Jesus knew what was going to happen in that night he woke you up at 3:00 in the morning. He knew. He got you up to pray, not to eat, but to pray. He knew those things. And he's going to alert you. He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you to do what he wants you to do. Jesus knows everything that you're going to face, and he's already provided a way out to and through for you. But you have to believe. All right, God, I got it from here. You saved me. I'm going to do my own thing now. I got it. You ever tried doing that with your kid driving a car? The first time they did it, you were stomping on those imaginary brakes, right? Stop, 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 stop! What were you thinking? My wife still does that today. You wait till the last minute. I said, baby, it was like 3 miles. Brakes, brakes! Where? No, actually, it's a little closer than that. Sometimes I just like messing with her. I said, baby, do you need to get in the back? And she's on her phone. That's the thing. I'm watching the road. She's on her phone. I see her doing that. And so when she drives, I do that too as well. Throw myself in the back seat. Do you have his word? what he has commanded you to do. These guys were professional fishermen. They knew what they were doing. In verse 5, it says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. That word master in the Greek indicates someone with authority. Jesus was someone with authority. He says, we worked all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. But at your word, be it unto me. The Lord has spoken things to you, but have we really believed it? If you say so, Lord, you have a call. No, I ran away. Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. Nope. I'm going to get on this ship over here. All right. Let me create this great fish for you. If God tells you that the creator of a billion galaxy, this world, takes the time out of his schedule to speak to you or to anyone, and you hear from him, you can confirm it through his word, and he's telling you this, that, or the other. Sometimes I have a hard time understanding why people say no to God. I know people who are on their face seeking him day in, day out, on their face crying out to God just so that they can hear a whisper. And we have others that will hear from the Lord. You don't realize how good you have it when you can hear from God on a daily basis, and he's telling you to do these certain things, and you're talking with him. I don't know if I'm going to do it, Lord. That's crazy. It's to be yes. If all of his promises are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus, why can't our answer to him be yes? Yes, sir. I don't get that, but it happens. I want somebody just to do a series. I may have to do it, but if I say it now, somebody may do it. So God bless you with it. A shut up series. Shut up and pray. Shut up and praise. Shut up and believe. Shut up and serve. Shut up and worship. Just shut up. But too many times we say, we talk ourselves out of situations that God has placed us in because he wants to mature us, to grow us, and we'll just try to talk ourselves out of it. We'll try to talk ourselves out of the blessing. We'll try to talk ourselves out of spending that time with him. We'll make excuses and shut up and just get into the presence of God. You hear from him and you say no? You have it good. You have it good. Very good. God wants you to believe in what he's telling you and what he's leading you to do. Philip, as revival is breaking out, Philip, go and walk alongside that carriage. Philip runs on over there, starts walking alongside, and there's an Ethiopian eunuch reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless somebody teaches it to me? He shares the good news. Remember, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Philip wasn't walking around with hammer toes. Gargantuan feet. He brought the gospel to him. And this eunuch says, here, there's some water right here. Who's to stop me from getting baptized? And then as soon as he did that, God took Philip up into another city, Azotus, I believe. Why? Because Philip said yes to that. Go and do that. Go and make that person a meal. God got you making a person, somebody in a meal that's been going through some stuff, make you a meal. Go and make that meal and go serve it to them. But I don't like that, bro. Go and serve it to them. Listen to what he's saying. Why? He wants you to get to the place to where you believe him. On a daily basis, believe. And it's just one step at a time. Believe, believe, believe. In verse 6, it says, and this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Jesus knows everything, to the number of sand on the beach up to the number of stars in the heavens. He knows it. He knew that their nets would be full. Imagine if they had a bigger net. You think that would have been filled up too? What if they had a couple of boats and they all had nets there? You think that would have filled up too? Absolutely. Now, remember what happened with the widow and the oil. In 1 Kings 17, it talks about this. It said this widow only had enough bread, enough oil or flour and oil. And the prophet says, make me some first and then go do what you need to do with the others. I don't have enough. I said, he goes, this is what the Lord says. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. That's a promise. That came from the Lord, the prophet. But make me some first. God's been faithful from the beginning all the way through. And sometimes we get to the place to where we don't trust him. Because we think, well, Lord, if I get into the ministry, you're going to send me over here. Not true. He may. But who are we to say no? You know, people go through life. You have that date on your on people's tombstones. What's the most important part on that tombstone? The dash. We know that. Why? That's what you lived. That's what you done. Everything. And of course, I don't believe they talk about all the graveyard is probably the richest place in the world. I don't agree with that. Because if it came from God, he's going to get it to somebody else. If I died today and didn't fulfill God's will for my life, he'll send it to somebody else. So I just missed out on the benefits. That was on me. And that was on them. If it came from him, I said, those gifts, those dreams, those beliefs, doesn't die. If it came from God, it doesn't die with the men. Just like the gifts didn't die with the apostles. Come on. So there was always enough food to eat and enough flour and oil left in those containers, just as God had promised through his word and his prophet. What about the wedding? Where Jesus performed his first miracle, there were 6 jars standing there, and each can hold about 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus tells them to fill it up, and they do. Now, get some out, take it to the master of ceremonies. And in John 2:11, it says, this miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples, what? Believed in him. They knew he brought the best out, and they saved the best for last. Jesus wasn't watered down. It was the best. And I know some people like to play. There's no way that Jesus would do this. Understand, stop watering down. As it says, it was the first miracle. It wasn't some leftover Kool-Aid. You know how you have Kool-Aid? You're trying to stress that Kool-Aid as much as you can. And I don't know about y'all. I said, we can stress some Kool-Aid. It wasn't watered down. It was the best. Because that's what he does. Every miracle that Jesus did, it was the best because it came from the Father. John 6. That's a little bit of scripture here, but it's good. It says, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God, the Father, has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform good God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? You don't chase after signs. There's people who will do ministries based upon the gifts. It's the word. The word comes first. And then Jesus will accompany the word with what? Signs. They go hand in hand. This is the work you do. What? Believe in the one whom he sent. He's done all the legwork. Believe in Jesus. I believe. You believe? Amen. I said, we believe. We believe in who he sent. What God requires is for people to believe in Jesus. God sent Jesus into the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. It says it about 40 times just in the Gospel of John that God sent Jesus. You believe in the one whom God has sent. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. God wants us to believe in his word. Believe in what he said. Believe in what he has spoken to you in that secret place. Regardless of how it may look. Lord, it might look weird if I step out and if I start teaching and sharing the gospel with other people. People may call me a Bible thumper. People may call me holier than thou. That's okay. They did to him. They didn't call him a Bible thumper, but it's okay. They made fun of him. He didn't care. Why? Because he's on a mission. We have a greater calling than ourselves. I'm going to stand in faith. Well, I don't believe certain things. Well, I believe the Bible. Ask somebody to try to get in a theological debate with me. Well, what do you believe? The Bible. Period. The Bible. Are you Armenian? I don't get into all that mess. Now you're just trying to show off and you're just trying to debate, just to debate. Show me your power then. Well, I don't really have any. You don't really know the word. Do you really know Jesus? Do you pray? Do you get results? If not, zip it. It's time to step out. It's time to live out what he's called you to do. Regardless of how it fails, it's not important what other thinks. It's time. It's time. Jesus did all the hard work. Your belief in Jesus is the only way you can enter into his rest. And that's in Hebrews, I believe, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I didn't have that on there, but you can write that down. A hardened heart towards God only leads to a wilderness experience. A person with a hardened heart will never, ever enter into God's rest. With a hardened heart. He's not your problem. He's on your side. And sometimes we can blame God. What are you doing? Well, I'm doing what I've done. He's like, yeah, this is his word. What are you doing, Lord? I just don't understand it. Wait a minute. You blaming God? If anyone's to blame, it's us. He's perfect in every way. We may not understand because his ways are higher than ours. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. God is not your problem. He's your solution. He's your answer to everything you need in life. He's got it. His word, his will, his plan for your life. God offers believers salvation and rest. And you would think that we would take him up on that offer, but sometimes we can get sidetracked. So we got to stay the course and believe in the name of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, come on, do y'all believe? I know some people used to say this, stay expecting. Are you expecting? When we came in here, were we expecting to receive from God? Not from me, from God. Not what I'm saying, what he's speaking to you right now. Are you expecting that? And if you haven't, get back to that. Lord, there's an answer in there somewhere. It could be just one little word. It could be something that I might do, and the Lord give it to you. You just never know. What? Be expecting. Turn it up. Dial it up. Lord, I'm expecting a miracle every day. That you're going to use me to do a miracle every single day. Not just do a miracle, but to preach the word, share the word, and you will confirm it. Lord, I expect it that every time I pray your word, I get results. I expect it. You said you will watch over your word and perform it. Your word says that. I expect good things to happen. I expect these things to happen in my life. You have to start expecting that. When you two come together as a married couple, yes, I'm talking to both of y'all. When you guys pray the word of God, it becomes so powerful in you. You got to expect it. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry. You got to expect when you pray it, you will receive it. You got to expect that. Why? Because God is a faithful God. You expect healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. It has no right to be in your body, ever. That's been paid for. That's been carried. I don't want to carry things that I shouldn't have to carry. It's expected. Hallelujah. Good to see you. Welcome back. Hallelujah. We expect it. You got to turn it on. Sometimes we could be sitting here waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Yep. And we don't realize that. Yeah. You can draw on him every single day of your life. And it ain't going to run out. Amen. Well, my neighbor might be using it up. You just got to flip the switch. Y'all remember that? Excuse me. Flip the switch. Hallelujah. Turn it up. Believe. Believe in the one whom he sent. The name of Jesus. Believe, Douglas. You got a good heart to serve. You stay believing. Don't back down. Hallelujah. Charles believed. He's got something better. Believe. Thank you, Jesus. How's your grandson? Really? You hit him? I was just playing. Hallelujah. Looking for the word. What is that word, Lord? It's not clumsiness. That's not what I'm looking for. Will we break that spirit of accident prone off of him? And we thank you for protection over him. Thank you, Jesus. Expect great things in 2025. This year ain't up yet. But 2025, that's another level. And expect it. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So let's finish this the right way. In 2025, let's go all in. Expect great things. Amen. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you. Thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord, for your word. Which is always true, Lord. Your word never fails us. It's never failed. This whole world is held together by the word of your power. That's proof. Since we're still here, this world is still here, that you are true to everything that you have said and done. And Lord, we just surrender our lives to you, our will, our way of doing things to you. Because we believe your word. There's great rewards in believing your word. And we just take that in consideration for each and every household. I believe this season. I believe for my family, for my friends, for my coworkers. I believe. That Jesus came to die for us. And he was raised to life. I believe. I place my trust in you. I believe that you were raised from the dead. 3 days later, I believe that I'm healed of any disease that is out there. I believe. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Christmas Eve, candlelight service, Tuesday night, right? Yeah, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock? Six. Bring your friends, no pets allowed. I know they're family. That's why I just said bring your friends. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.